All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to a summer episode of the Curfew Boys. It's been a while. I mean, it's been a while. I haven't been on, but
it's okay. You have a good reason. You decided to go to the motherland and just hang out there for quite a bit.
I was in Italy for 2 weeks. Now I'm back. I know AJ was gone for a week or 2 weeks, but he's still not on this episode. So what's his excuse tonight? Joey.
He's still unpacking. Joey.
He's digesting his chips.
Well, before we get this started, let me introduce you to my boys. We got Ball Buster Zook here.
Hey now.
We got Fireman Sam.
Hey now.
And we got GQ Chris in the house.
Hey now.
Burns guys, Chris. I want to ask you all, how's your summer going? I mean, it's coming to an end. It's already freaking August in a few days. But anyways.
July was a shit month. That was a fucking rainy month.
Disgusting.
So it kind of sucked.
We almost had a tornado. We almost had
it's just
massive disasters.
We had an ice storm in May.
You know, so. My Hydro Quebec fucking thing exploded my yard. It's still being fixed.
Oh, the transformer?
Jesus.
Yeah, oil everywhere. Now we have environmental specialists scouring my land every 2 weeks. Anyways.
There's these random power outages going on within the island of Montreal. So yeah. there's some conspiracy theories going on.
I blame the electric cars. Just so
you know what?
I
was in Italy for 2 weeks. In Europe, there was a record-breaking fucking heat wave.
Oh
but
yeah.
But yet, no fucking outages.
Yeah, but Anthony, they pay like $9 a kilowatt over there. It better not be fucking outage. They'll lose their minds.
the heat, one of the heat waves we had like over 30, 40 degrees. I think you were gone. My car wouldn't start. So there's some conspiracy theory going on in this fucking area.
30, 40 degrees. I hit close to 50 degrees in Sicily.
And
my phone's at 48 degrees. Christ.
And what? Believe it or not, not everybody has AC units there because, of course, you know, expensive electricity, right? So imagine you living in a house where it's 48 degrees outside. It's cement there. The house is, it's not here where it's wood and there's brick and nice and insulated there. It's cement blocks with fucking plaster. Heat, no air, and their windows, they have to hide in their garages. I find that
so weird because when I went to Thailand, like every building has AC or you're gonna fucking melt. You're gonna melt. It's so hot and humid that you're gonna melt. So every hotel I stayed, hostel, even there's a 7-Eleven across every fucking street corner. It's like the Starbucks of Thailand, the 7-Eleven, full on AC. It's like it's cold in there. Then you step outside and it's like a fucking jungle sauna.
That's what Europe's becoming.
Yeah.
Well, Europe this year is crazy. But anyways, so
at least Chris, the forest fires at least are dying down in the province of Quebec.
That's
true. Are they? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So to the people in New York and to the rest of Europe, we're sorry. true Canadian fashion. True Canadian fashion. We're sorry for the smoke.
It's okay. Last year it was Calgary or the West Coast.
The West Coast is like that every year. But
LA.
This is the first time, I think, like the province of Quebec and like you could say East Coast, like is messed up. And look what's going on in Nova Scotia. Like the Nova Scotia sinking, like they're flooding like crazy. Yeah. Where in the States? In I don't know if it was in the state of Buffalo or northern parts of New York. Them too, they're flooding.
I'm not sure what the hell's going on. It's probably global warming. That's for sure.
For sure.
It's just a plan to be like, yo, humans, you guys fucked this planet up for too long now. We have to. Slowly get you out of here. Slowly.
It's the toilet flushing. The natural toilet flushing that the planet is doing just to clear up the extra shit. Sorry to say, but
learn to swim.
And do some stuff.
Some analogy. Yeah, learn to swim. I think we should all teach our kids or our future kids swimming lessons because we might need it.
Brought to you by Adam, the Hudson firefighter.
Oh my God, that was so funny. I'll explain that story another day, but Jesus Christ. Okay, real quick. I'll explain the story. When the first floods happened in 2017 in the town of Hudson, that's when the town came together, like citizens, the community came together at the fire station to help out creating preparing sandbags, delivering and all that stuff. So, like there was a lot of commotion going on, but like controlled. So one of my colleagues, he was kind of like at the guard. He was kind of like being the guard at the entrance and like kind of like guiding people where to go if they needed questions. So this one woman fucking pulls up and she's like, "What's going on over here? Is there something going on?" It's like, it's the fucking news of the area where like Hudson is underwater, like, or at least like certain parts of Hudson are underwater.
West Island, it's everything.
Not,
it was like
on a Regal West Island. Like it was nothing hidden. It was known. So this woman comes, she's like, "What's going on? Is there like some special event going on?
Garage sale?"
My colleague looks at her, it's like, "Yeah, ma'am, it's fucking teach your kids to swim day." She's like, "What?" He's like, "No, nothing. There's floods, so people are helping out to make sandbags." "Oh, okay. There's floods, really?" He's like, "Ma'am, just go. Carry on.
Flooding and the natural disasters go, those are the people that have to go first. Just that's all we're asking."
Darwinism.
Darwinism and no prejudice, no discrimination, just, you know, think Thanos with the snap.
That's crazy.
Oh, that's cold.
Oh man,
you just took this to another level. But
Fireman Sam, baby, that's where you want to come there.
I'm here to serve. So.
Well, I mean, before we jump to our beloved Habs, I mean, I don't want to put you on the spot, Sam. Did you have anything to say? Do you want to say anything? Do you want to wait till next episode? It's really up to you.
No, I could. Well, it's pretty big news in my life, but fun.
Do tell.
Oh, good news.
What news is this?
Myself and my better half bought a condo together. So, I don't know why, but I decided it was a good move to. She's looking at me right now with the debt stare, and it's fucking hilarious. We bought a condo unit together, and we're pretty excited that it's like it's my first real estate purchase in my life. Finally, at the age of 35, like, never thought this day would come.
Never too late.
It's never too late. Thank God. I mean, she's kind enough and loving enough to tolerate me and my shenanigans. But yeah, there's that move. That's for that. But also on my professional.
I just picture a pillow just coming flying to your head right now, but anyways, continue.
Yeah, she has shit aim, so she'd miss anyway. But
don't tempt her, man.
Katrina, do it.
Actually, before the news broke that we got our condo, I actually got promoted at work. I'm going to be a lieutenant for my local fire department. So
hey, nice.
That's pretty.
It's not Lieutenant Dan. It's Lieutenant Sam.
Man, good for you.
Yeah, thanks.
We salute you.
So it's exciting. It's a bit, you know, there are the nerves that are there as well because, you know, there's a lot more responsibilities and in emergency situations when, like, your crew's safety is kind of in your hands. Like it's not a wake up call, but like it's not it something I didn't toes. Know, but yeah, it keeps you on my toes. And like, it's really I got to make sure the brain functions properly for this job, but I'm excited for it. And looking forward to the new challenge. It's going to be fun.
Congratulations, my man.
I appreciate it. I have great colleagues too, that I know are going to help along the way. So like, I'm not too worried about that. So
well, you're in good hands and the city of Hudson is in good hands. So
yeah, well this is the city of Ojoy, actually, not Hudson.
Oh, Ojoy, sorry.
Ojoy, but yes.
I'll let my sister-in-law know that she's in good hands.
That sounds, you let her know that indeed.
So, you know, you have a lot on your plate coming up. So at least when we have a shit-ass season this year with the Montreal Canadiens.
Stop it.
I'm getting into the segment, right? At least you're not going to have to worry about the stupidity of the Habs because you're going to have a lot on your plate. You know, you have to worry about the citizens of Vaudreuil. And
you're going to be distracted.
Your girlfriend there.
What if they start rioting and start fucking lighting shit on fire? So, no, I don't think that'll happen. But unless they lose another Stanley Cup final, but I don't think that would happen either. But, yeah, it's still, I find it funny though, like, speaking of the Habs, like, it's end of July, we're still talking about them, and so are,
but it's crazy, right? We haven't stopped. So like, when we first started this podcast back in 2020, whatever it was, and we had that crazy season, and that our podcasts expect like extended into the summer, right? So we never like technically had a break.
Yeah,
and then
that's true.
We said to our fans that we're gonna have a summer break, but then there's always
every week.
Year two of the Curfew Boys, we try to have a summer break, and again, always fight, like last year with the number one draft pick and this and that. And again, now this year, we try to have a summer break, and we have news for you guys. We have stories for you to talk. I'm sure all our fans are waiting to hear our thoughts on our segments that we're going to be discussing in the next couple
of weeks. Yeah, absolutely. I think we could start with this one particular segment here. Like we decided to call this this episode New Hook, New Look. Well, first off, because like we all know, Alex Newhook got traded to the Montreal Canadiens and now signed within like a week or two ago. Signed a 4-year deal at $2.9 million. So, and that was to be expected once the trade was made. And, you know, thinking the history that Newhook has with Kent Hughes, I think, Anthony, this is the trade that you were anticipating that, you know, of a young but kind of
established player,
NHL player. He's already a Stanley Cup champion, which I think is huge for a player that experienced that at, I'm pretty sure it was his rookie season when they won. So for a player at a young age to experience that, I truly believe they might have a bit more of a drive to do what they can to help the team to get there. And, you know, you could add guys like Nick Suzuki and Cole Caulfield that were there too at their young age and at their young time in their career. For sure, they're going to want to do whatever they can to get that feeling again, knowing, oh my God, we're fighting for the Stanley Cup.
And you know what? And I know we when you have conversations about Stanley Cup finalists or playoff contenders, always have that strong veteran. You always need a veteran in your room to keep the team, the room calm in whatever case may be, right? Mm-hmm. Now, I had this conversation with someone not long ago, and I said, you know, the future of the Montreal Canadiens is a young team. Young team. We're building on Suzuki now. No more Carey Price. Sorry, it hurts to say that out loud, but, you know, it's Suzuki's team. And
it's a fact, though.
And Suzuki, quote-unquote, is still considered a young player in this team.
Yeah.
And then everybody around him, besides the Gallagher and the Andersons, you know, where's the veteran? Where's your veteran?
Matheson.
But hold on a second. Not only that, I don't even think that Hughes wants that kind of veteran. You have veterans like, these experienced Stanley Cup contenders or finalists or championships like Newhook, who's coming into a team with that kind of experience. So that kind of replaces having a veteran on your team. You have someone who's been there.
And they can help. 22 years old. Like,
But imagine that, insane. Right? So yeah. I'm not saying it's like a young vet. I'm not saying that please don't go get a veteran, but I think what Hughes is trying to do is build this team young, but have these young players, some of them have that experience, like the Suzukis, who went to the Stanley Cup Finals and has that experience, the Newhook who won a cup, that kind of somewhat replaces your quote-unquote veteran, if you think about it, right?
I don't think there's any vets who are available that fit the mold of the Montreal Canadiens, that speedy, fast, skillful. I think all the vets now are slowly transitioning to the old style of hockey, whereas now all the new style players are younger players, and teams are going towards these younger players.
And you see that trend.
Like, there's very little room for Perry's anymore. He can't skate anymore. You know, things like that. There's a lot of players who are going to be in that category soon.
And someone like that you can pick up at deadline. But before, Sam, you say what you got to say, I want to just finish off Zook's point. I don't know if you guys heard Nate Thompson's interview on 690 this week.
No, but I know he announced his retirement. Yeah.
They asked him a question in regards to can you compare the league now from before when you started or whatever? I forgot the exact question. And he straight out said, this is the new generation, a young, it's a young league. There's there's no room for the veterans, the old people. It's a fast, speedy, young
culture. It really is. Yeah. And actually to both those points, yours and Zook's, I think Kent Hughes wants to build this team young. So these young guys grow together.
And they
become the core. Eventually, in their prime age, they become the core veterans to whichever young players are going to come in like 5, 6, 7 years from now.
And if you pay attention, he's loading up with like a lot of first rounders or previous first rounders, which is good. People,
yeah,
he wasn't in the first round for no reason, Alex Newhook. Same thing with Kirby Doc and all the players.
That's the thing. Is this getting
it's all fucking first rounders, they're good players.
This is the hope, but I think that's the hope is that this is another Kirby Doc situation.
Do you see how fast this kid is, dude? Like, he's very, I've never seen a player like
very
this.
Very fast,
he's fucking insane, he's and his hands fast. Are great.
And he's I don't think Colorado gave him enough ice time to prove what he can.
He's in the wrong situation. Exactly.
But unfortunately, you look at the skill and talent on that team.
That's what I'm saying. No, but also where they are.
Well, at the same time, too, like, are you going to give Newhook a chance or are you going to ride with McKinnon, Rantanen, and Landeskog, Makar? Fucking look, Arturi Lehkonen in the playoffs. That's what he does.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, Kadri was there, too, as a centerman. Fuck, it was hard. You know, you talk about Nishushkin too before.
I'm pretty sure they didn't want to trade him though. In a perfect world, they may have kept him for the longer ride because maybe soon enough, all those players are going to get older and he's still going to be young. And
Newhook said it himself. And like maybe in the playoffs, he should have capitalized on some of the opportunities he's given. He admitted that. He didn't have a bad playoff, but he didn't have a good one either. But like neither did the whole team. I think they were a little bit fatigued, but
yeah.
But at the same time too, like you're like if you're averaging 8 to 10 minutes a game and he still finished the season with 14 goals.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
That's could be like a better version of like a Harvey Pinard type, but he's bigger than him, right?
Dude, if he would have been on the Montreal Canadiens, he would have been top five in scoring with Doc at 14, Hoffman at 14, Suzuki at 20,
and Harvey Pinard at 14. I think.
Oh my god, Pinard too had 14.
That's what I'm saying.
This is what 8 minutes of ice time. Imagine.
Yeah, you're averaging well because he is going to be on the power play. He got a lot of power play minutes. Mm-hmm. It helps when you have guys like McKinnon, Rantanen, and Makar on your team. Like let's be honest. He's fast and like and it's so funny. Like after they signed him. Now, more than ever, I'm trying to picture where in the lineup is he going to play?
I think he slots in. I think he slots in on the third line to start, honest with you. That's just – but I think he's going to be – you know, there was a name that you mentioned, Zouk, but I think he's going to have a role very similar to that of Paul Byron.
Byron.
A guy that can take a lot of different places should there be injuries. He could easily climb up to the first line, second line. I think he's got a solid spot on the third line. You know, on a night where the roster's packed or maybe he's not playing well or the fourth line needs a little boost, maybe he goes down to the fourth. All around, like, we haven't said it yet, but I think this is an absolute steal considering it's 4 years at that price. That's just
2.9.
Example of Kent Hughes making an absolutely wonderful move that's going to open up the doors.
Genius.
Again, this season, sorry guys, but like I'm going to continue on the same, I guess, emotional path of Anthony when he started. I think it's going to be another tough year ahead. But again, this type of signing, let's stay on track or let me stay on track rather than be a Mr. Tangent Man over here. I think that could be one of my other nicknames. But long story short is that this is another contract that we have that's going to enable us to have space for other players to come in. You got a player who's going to be very dynamic, who can slide up and down the roster very easily. He fits the Kent Hughes mold perfectly in the speed and skill section. He's a little bit small for sure. Yeah. But I also want to go to one last point. Anthony mentioned there was an interview with Nate Thompson. Nate Thompson actually, I don't want to say he went out of his way, but he played with Marty St. Louis, and he said it was one of his favorite, it was one of the most impactful players on his own personal career. And he said, like, again, this is another guy who's reemphasizing the Canadians have possibly one of the best guys. And again, to come full circle, can Marty get more out of this kid than they were getting in Colorado, whether it be ice time or just not being able to, let's say, flourish to a certain degree? Great contract, very interesting player, dynamic player, open for dude, all sorts of things to happen.
He was a first rounder. Which pick again?
16th overall.
I think it was 16th. Yeah.
16th.
Yeah. Actually.
We said this a couple of episodes ago where.
Yeah.
With the contract that was built of Suzuki and Caulfield, and now New Hook and Doc, we might have, if all goes well again, I'm just, you know, putting my hopes up out there, but we might have a contending Stanley Cup team in 3-4 years, averaging at $5 million a player.
Which means we could get that elite fucking player.
But yes, but where it's going to slide in, because next summer, it's not this year. This year, I will repeat it. It's going to be my fucking mantra for the year. Kent Hughes has to get rid of the bad contracts. If he is successful in getting rid of the bad contracts, I swear to God.
What's a bad contract? Who?
Gallagher. Like Gallagher.
He's not. They're going to put him on LTIR, worst case.
But that's what I'm saying. If they can successfully buy him out at the end of next year, before the next season. But if Gallagher's contract is off the books, if let's say another contract like Savard, potentially I don't see that happening, but there are like Hoffman, Dvorak.
Hoffman has 1 year left, and I have a feeling, not to cut you off, Chris, I have a feeling they're gonna put him on waivers.
Matter what they do, they have to get rid of these contracts, because if Kent Hughes successfully gets rid of these contracts, and that's why I'm saying lined up for a boring year and a year of giving away access, potentially even paying to get rid of some of these players. But if they successfully do this, we're going to be talking to one another in about a year's time, minus maybe a month. And we're going to be talking about a Montreal Canadiens having anywhere between $15 to $25 million in salary to go get those fucking top end players. So, it's going to be a really exciting summer ahead, but Kent Hughes has work to do this year.
But the thing is,
it depends. It depends how you pay Caden Gooley. It depends how you pay Slavkovsky. Like, it's still way too early to talk about his contract. But it depends if you're going to have to pay him.
They're not going to pay more than $6 million.
Is Montembeau going to be your goalie that you're going to pay maybe $3-4 million?
Yeah.
At the end of this year, like there's money there to pay guys properly, not overpay. You know, like if you're basing contracts off of what Suzuki and Caulfield are getting, then you could get a bit of an understanding how a guy like Gooley might get. It depends how Slavkovsky plays, what he might get. But you still have Kirby Doc locked for another 3 years. So, yeah, absolutely. But at the end of the day, those contracts, like I said, Hoffman's a free agent at the end of this season. So, like, whatever. Whether you trade him or send him the waivers, or if you get nothing in return, you're getting $4 million cap hit back. Dvorak, Armia, I mean, their contract
ends. I don't mind those two, though.
I mean, their contract ends next year. The thing about Yoel Armia, and I don't want to get off track here, it's like, what are we expecting from him? Like, he's a fourth-line guy. Besides that, I think an NHL team would take him, a contending team would take him. If you at 3 points, whatever million is left at the end of his contract, you even if you retain half, you know, you do that team a favor, retain half. But look, we're doing you this favor, give us something in return that we could potentially use, whether it be a pick or a minor league player or whoever. These next two seasons, there's really going to be. Now we're really going to see a new look for the Montreal Canadiens. And it already started.
And I still see the fight for playoffs for some reason.
I'm telling you, and I know we're going to have this conversation again. And if ever there's new listeners tuning in now and until then, we will be having this conversation, but so will the rest of the city. I solely believe it's two things. It's the play of Montembeau and it's the health of the players.
Health of the players.
Keep those two alive. We're making the playoffs.
Okay.
I might agree with you on that.
Look. No, but think about it. Look at last year how we were playing before the injuries and everything.
Yeah.
And then when the team was getting healthy again, where Joey was getting mad for them to lose
because they were winning.
You know, we were winning again. So we started the season winning. All right, and not just winning for like randomly lucky. We were actually winning good games.
Or they were competing.
We're competing, and we've always said we want them to lose with competition, but instead they were winning with competition.
But then
with all the injuries, we were still competing and losing, right?
Yeah.
Then with the health coming back in, we started winning again. So imagine, like you said, Sam, a healthy team, a healthy goalie, and the play of Montembeau.
And also, not to mention,
never know,
they might be
Caulfield's going to develop to – he still has a lot more to do. He's not – Suzuki as well. He'll be Doc as well. So if these players evolve to the next stage next year then, and they're healthy –
Speaking of health and developing and evolving, did you see the picture of Juraj Slafkovský looking like fucking Neo from the Matrix on the ice?
What an animal, eh?
It was, but apparently this new technology, like it helps. It doesn't help with eyesight, but it helps with like breathing
instinctive
technique, instinctive reaction. Amen. But also think about like the amount of breaths you should be taking between these technology, repetitions on the ice and all that. Fuck. Like talk about a knack. Where the fuck was this shit when I was
imagine if fucking
hockey? Just off topic a little bit in regards to technology. I don't know if you guys watch, I'm going to promote a show on Netflix, but it's called Quarterback. So they
wanted to watch it. I've been dying to watch that.
I've been watching it. I'm at the second episode. It's so good.
Okay. So when you hit episode 5 or 4, they talk about technology that the NFL players are starting to use. Okay. It's something for the brain. It's like, basically, because you know, NFL players week over year, they need to learn fucking plays over plays. So there's one of the quarterbacks that wears this thing on his head while he's driving just to, like, I forgot it. I can't explain it. I don't want to botch it. So it's like you said, all these new technologies for these athletes, you know, these guys are getting better and better, and technology is just getting better and better for development. It helps the brain stimulate remembering things, reflexes, how to memorize certain things, you know, how to memorize plays. This technology is, I don't want to just watch it here, but
especially like back to technology in hockey. Like to me, it's the tablets on the bench. Like you're able to see replays of your shift. The development camp, Adam Nicklaus they had a camera like following the players during practices, during drills, and during practice they could be like, okay, look, this is where you're at. You're doing this is good. You should be here though at this point. It's like, holy fuck, like this, it's a whole new era. Like some people might not totally be for it, and that's okay. But the way I see it is whatever in terms of using the technology, whatever can make a player a better hockey player, a better teammate, and that could just help this Montreal Canadiens team win. Like if Juraj Slafkovský is doing that, if this makes him a 20 to 30 goal scorer in the future, fucking right. Yeah, I'm all for it. And
you're gonna add more entertainment to the league going forward with all these players getting better and better at what they do, right?
But that's hats off to Slafkovský. He's working his butt off, man. He wants this.
Exactly.
He fucking wants this shit.
He's not gonna
be in the East Coast there and fishing. He's training right now with fucking masks on and shit. Like, dude. And he's a kid.
He's still growing. Exactly. But this is coming back to this. It's the new look of the Canadians. It's insane. You know, the talking about Slafkovský, like do you keep him with the Canadians? And it depends how he does in training camp. Yeah. And I don't even know if he's going to that rookie tour, but like it's the look of this team is it's completely changed. Like look,
but I think also
Drouin gone, Dandanov gone. Unfortunately, Paul Byron, it's been nice two seasons now he's playing. Like we all know the thing about Price. Look, now Joel Edmondson is gone. They're literally making room for the young guys.
But speaking of new look, and I said this a few episodes ago, and you brought it up at the beginning of this episode, Sam, I think, and you keep saying, Chris and Zook about, you know, making more room for these top end elite players, blah, blah, blah. Again, I know Joey cringes when I say this, but I think the way the team is going, and you can see this by the way how he drafted, okay? There's a top-end player out there, and he moved away from it. I don't think this team – don't shoot me, Joey, but I don't think Hughes and Gorton vision this team of getting elite talent like a Matthews, a Crosby, a McDavid, okay? I think how they want to build this team is exactly what we're seeing in front of our eyes. Building a young team at a young age – they're not worried. They're not thinking about contending right now. They're not thinking of winning right now. They're saying they're putting a young team on the ice that is very talented.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yeah.
Very talented. Let's build the chemistry. Let's grow together. Okay? And we're going to see the same team with you know, added players from rookies coming up, mm-hmm. contending in 3-4 years. Look at, and I think that's where he wants to see this team go. Win as a core that grew up together. Because doing it that way, these players will be, you know, comfortable with each other. Mm-hmm. They will build great chemistry. And they're going to want to win and play and win together.
Yeah, right? they'll establish that culture already. Yeah.
It's pretty much the it's like the Mighty Ducks, you know, that the show, the Mighty Ducks. That's how they will. Because sorry to cut you off, just let's compare that, how they want to grow this team and win, to the Toronto Maple Leafs. I'm not here to shit on them, but I'm going to shit on them.
Oh, I am.
You know, please do.
A team like that where they were just, you know, picking elite talent and just shoving them in. Let's sign big contracts and shove them in the holes. Oh, we have a fucking elite team on paper. Guess what? They go nowhere. Why? Because yes, the team is high salarized.
It's stacked.
A lot of talented players, but zero chemistry. They cannot play together. They cannot win together, and they cannot do anything together. Simple as that.
So I love how their standards are like, yeah, we finally passed the first round. I've been trashing Leafs fans for like all week, especially after I fucking
scum.
I got them butthurt because Max Domi once said that the Montreal Canadiens environment is better than Toronto Maple Leafs.
He's not wrong.
Even though Max Domi is going back to Toronto, good for him. We wish him well, but like, Leafs fans, they're just so in denial, and it's just trash talking them is the greatest thing ever. They think they own whatever rights they have to fucking speak their minds and trash talk us. They got nothing.
And as of today, they're $12 million over the cap with the signing of Samsonov,
with their goalie Samsonov.
Geniuses.
But however, they got Guy Boucher as assistant coach. So it's like, fuck.
Zuko, what were you gonna say when I cut you?
Yeah, I want to add so. When you said that you fear the Habs are going to make the playoffs this year, which I not fear.
I don't fear.
Not fear, but
I feel it.
Project it, right? I want that too, but I'm scared that if the Habs do make the playoffs, it's gonna veer Kent Hughes into making these decisions faster than he should. No. Like, you know, I'm scared that was going to happen, you know? And I don't want that to happen.
You're giving these young players, you're giving these young players a taste of playoff hockey, right?
You don't think he's going to make any moves? Yeah. Like, they're making the playoffs and they don't have that fucking, you know, experience to go
here. Okay.
I think he's going to make a move.
Here are the moves I think he could do if that happens. He'll go and see where he can draft.
He would have to give assets away, though.
Draft size or maybe acquire someone, again, not too old, someone that's established, but that could be the player you can rely on in the playoffs. Maybe the size of Anderson.
Yeah, right.
Maybe another one.
That's what I was saying. And I don't want that to happen if it's going to hamper their future.
And that's a big maybe. That depends how they do. Like, if they were to go in the playoffs and they get trampled over because maybe size and lack of experience, then he might.
I don't think that's going to be an issue.
But to that point, Zouk, to answer your question directly, I truly think that he's going to give the reins to the young kids and say, absolutely, okay, show me what you got.
Yeah,
and I think totally, he's not going to make any aggressive move. Yeah. I don't think he's going to do anything.
I hope that will happen.
I need you guys to show me what we are missing. Yeah. So that I can go, because I'm working with you,
it's 1,000%.
And we're gonna fill in those gaps.
It's their team. It's the young guys. It's their team. It's Suzuki's team. It's Caulfield's team. It's Caden Gooley is gonna be part of the leadership. It's also Doc is there.
Yeah.
New Hook now. Like, hey, listen, he might be part of that core that keeps that glue together. Slavkovsky eventually. Look, I said Caden Gooley. Like, man, Arbor Jack guy is gonna be that too. Like as well. Maybe if they keep Jordan Harris, who knows? Like, it's gonna be on defense too. Like, this core of young players, they're gonna be the veterans together and grow, like Anthony said. They might get another veteran or two, like once maybe Dvorak's gone, if whatever happens to Gallagher on defense too, if Mike Matheson or David Savard or both are gone, like who knows? But this is the core of this team are the young players now.
Well, to that point, and bringing in veterans and all that stuff. And I'm talking about if we have a huge amount of salary cap, which we should by next summer. And depending on what actually happens in the market, but one name that I have circled on the free agent calendar for next summer, and I have a significant difficulty imagining that he would get paid as much or right around, is Jonathan Marchessault. That would be the type of player that I would love to bring. He's not a top 10 player.
He's another small guy, though.
Yeah,
he is another small guy. But that's another guy that, like, I would be very keen. I find we're very weak on the right wing. That's one. And number two, like, that's the type of veteran that I would like to bring in. And I would see fitting the fast, skilled style of play that Marty's trying to implement. But anyways, all in due time. But my wish list is already set. Maybe a Jonathan Marchessault.
I mean, I like the guy, but yeah, just... It, with the size on the team, like, you already have Caulfield. I know, like, he won the cup, but he's still small, blah blah blah, MVP, all that. I get it. I'd rather rely on Caulfield, a guy like Caulfield, to be, if we're gonna have somebody left. Small. Yeah, I know, I get that, but I still think, and again, come playoff time, it's different, right? If And who knows? My point is, if they're well surrounded with big players, skilled players that can play, that can protect, that can create space for these guys, then so be it. But I love Marchessault. I know the defense is going to be big too. But having big forwards,
barring Lane Hutson, we have a set of moose on the back end, literally for the next few years.
Okay. Speaking now that we're on the defense topic, we're gonna go back to David Reinbacher. This poor kid, like, can't get away with anything. Like, didn't even start his fucking NHL career, and there's already question marks and fucking darts being thrown at him. But did you guys hear, like, around 6 days ago, like, even by the time this episode airs on YouTube, which also you should like and subscribe, by the way. He's got this disease called Osgood Schlatter. I call it the Chris Osgood Schlatter disease. So apparently this disease, and I'm going to have it in front of me somewhere. It's something that messes up his...
So it's not, a not, common not, cause of knee pain in growing adolescence.
That's it.
It's an inflammation of the area just below the knee where the tendon from the kneecap attaches to the shin bone.
Shin bone. So apparently... Apparently, well, there's good news is that if it doesn't worsen, remains under control, like, he's got a 95%, or like at that young age, don't fully quote me on this, but I saw, read, and heard that there's a 95% chance that he can recover from this disease. Apparently, the team, his European team he was playing at, apparently they didn't know about it. They just thought his knees were fucking swollen from all the playing that he's been doing, all the ice time he's been getting. And now there's a concern amongst Habs fans. And it's just another reason for them.
It hasn't been confirmed. He has it, though, right?
Yeah, he does have it. Yes.
It's confirmed.
I believe so.
Okay.
Well, yeah, according to these reports.
But they say that the Osgood Schlatter only goes away at 18 years old latest. After that, it's with you forever. It's something that a child goes through his growth spurt. Once the growth spurt stops, that's when the disease goes away, if it goes away. If not, this guy's not growing anymore.
Well, maybe he still is at the age of 18, but I don't know.
Wait, he's 18?
Yeah.
Okay, so we're still good. We're still good. It says
Anthony has contacts with his doctor and his physiologist and his biologist. Anthony knows. But is it a cause for concern? Like, for now, I don't think so. I am not too worried. I mean, the kid played great in Europe. He was one of the best defensemen with this so-called issue, this disease. Is it something?
But also, one of the things I read about the medical, you know, when they checked him in Europe before the tournament, it wasn't badly swollen. It was just, it showed signs of, like, he was playing a lot of hockey up to that point, right? So, like, it wasn't abnormally swollen, right? So that's another positive thing.
Okay.
And that's why they didn't really think it was this issue, right? Because it wasn't blatant. So who knows? Maybe it's just, maybe he's going to get over it faster than we think.
But
and by the time he's playing in the Montreal Canadiens, he won't have any issues at this point in 2 years, right? So,
but we have to ask the question. I mean, but the, like, the Canadiens knew about
they
this.
They had to have known, dude. They had to have known.
Like, there's no way they didn't know about this. Fuck, man. Right?
What a disaster.
The Canadiens have to have done their homework. But again, I don't want to say it's something that's common, but even growing pains, like, he's a big kid. He's 6'2". Went through like fucking growth spurts where, you know, you're in brutal pain. Like, anyways, I know it's not the same thing, but like you said, I'm sure they did their homework, and it's pain. It's a minor inflammation. As like, these guys have the top end doctors taking care of it. Even if there is a certain amount of inflammation, I don't think it's going to be detrimental. I just think that he's going to have to be a little bit more cautious, mm-hmm. and they're just going to have to follow him a little bit more. But it's like, the people are treating people here in Montreal as if they chopped off his fucking leg at his knee, and he now has one leg. Like, calm down.
It's the same people that are calling Slafkovsky a bust, and he hasn't before he played a fucking first NHL. Here's my thing, though. It's like, if he has to, I hope to God it doesn't come down to a point or a situation where he's got to play with like a knee brace his entire career. I hope it doesn't come down to that. I hope it doesn't affect his speed. I hope.
Didn't Markov have that?
Markov had bad knee injuries, but I mean, he was still able to keep up. But again, that was an era where the speed of that game wasn't. But
that's true.
Interesting. I'm curious to see. Well, now the real question is curious to see what happens. I mean, like, he's under contract, obviously, Rheinbacher, and it seems like he's going back to Europe for at least one more year. Apparently, he has some things he wants to take care of. He wants to finish school, I believe, something like that. But, you know, I mean, with a situation like that and a disease, like with that kind of medical condition, like, do you see maybe his role eventually changing once he gets to the Canadiens, or if he gets to Laval?
No.
Like, I don't know. I still don't know what his ceiling is, though, to be honest.
I mean,
they still say top two, and at the very worst, the top three defensemen.
Okay.
Yeah.
I see him in the top two. I mean, like we said, I think that they did their homework before choosing him. I don't think this is a surprise. I think this is a surprise to the media. You know, something leaked in the media, and it was something for the media to talk about. But I highly doubt Gorton and Hughes chose this player when there's Michkov and who was the other guy? Carlson still available? Or no, was it Carlson available? No.
Ryan Leonard was still available.
Yeah, Leonard was available. Michkov was available. And yet they go choose this guy. If they wouldn't go that route, knowing, you know, like, I think this is just something that the media is just making bigger than what it is.
Okay. Yeah, maybe. I think so, too. I don't think it's that much of a big deal. It's just, again, it's because you like, to the best of my knowledge, like, knee injuries and ankle injuries are the worst. So if he's already having knee issues, so I'll call it issues, not injuries.
But that's something you talk about before the draft, right? That's something that all these, like, when you're rated of drafting, I assume, you know, they talk to doctors and see and check out their report. I highly doubt these things are hidden.
Yeah, from that's true. Yeah, that's true. I mean, there's some players that there's medical reports that are, I think there's some medical reports that are available to teams. I cannot confirm this 100%. I don't know, but you know, you hear stories of players dropping in the draft because of injuries. I think Zachary Leroux at one point was one of those. Because he had it was a Quebec Major junior player. Like, he was dropped, like, he was supposed to be ranked high 20s, but then he dropped a little bit, or they were afraid that he was going to drop because of a history of injuries. So you got to believe that they knew. You got to believe that they had some kind of report So
100%. It's all clickbait, things to talk about. I mean, it's supper. Yeah. It's supper. It's summer. There's not much to talk about.
It's supper. It was supper.
There's not much to talk about, and this is something to talk about.
Where do you rank? Where do you guys rank him amongst in terms? If you look at our prospect pool, like forwards and defense, where do you rank David Reinbacher right now?
I think he's closely behind Logan Mayhew.
Okay, where are you ranking Mayhew?
Third, fourth.
Top. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think number one has to be Lane Hutson.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
100% Lane Hutson's number one.
So okay. Yeah.
Imagine. Sean Farrell, man. People are not talking about Sean Farrell. He has a lot of potential to be a really good goal scorer, I find.
He's more of a playmaker, but yeah.
So we have Lane Hutson, Gouley. And it's the fight between Mayhew and Reinbacher.
Well, I don't consider Caden Gooley a prospect. I think he's an established NHLer already for the Montreal Canadiens. But
does he have that? Like, you know, how many games did he play this year?
I think he's got enough to be. I don't consider him a prospect anymore. Like he's
okay. Yeah. Sorry. If we're comparing it to just prospects, yeah, then.
Yeah, no, Caden Gooley already 44 games. That's more than half. Yeah, so
I think I'm putting David Reinbacher at four. I have him at number three. We did the exercise, I think, Sammy and I.
Yeah, I'm waiting for the rest of the guys.
I have Hutchin, Mayhew, Reinbacher. Then after that, Beck, Joshua Roy, Messar, Heinemann, Kidney, Kapanen, Engstrom, and then Dobies.
Where do you have Roy?
Oh wow. I have
him at number five after Owen Beck.
I have him at number two.
Joshua Roy.
Yeah.
He was number nine on your original list. What the hell?
No. I had him at number two.
I'm looking at it now.
Wait, hold on a second.
Oh yeah, you do have it. Okay.
I have Lane Hutson. Yeah.
Yeah, you're Lane Hutson, Joshua Roy, Logan Mayhew. Riley Kidney, David Reinbacher. So you have
Kidney.
Yeah. Well, dude, he put up a lot of points.
I forgot about Kidney. A lot of points
in the queue, man. And you know what? All these guys are going to Laval, except for Lane Hutson and maybe Reinbacher. but let's think about this. And we'll kind of finish this segment, then talk about a very controversial ex-Montreal Canadiens hockey player. Hint, hint. But dude, this prospect pool, a lot of them are going to Laval, except for Lane Hutson, who's going to do one more year in the NCAA. Reinbacher, I mean, he kind of has a choice, or he can't decide where to go. I think he's going to go to Europe. And the stupid rule of you have to be 20 years old to play pro if you're a North American born player, and then there's just Owen Beck that isn't going. Otherwise, I think Owen Beck is ready to go pro. But otherwise, dude, you're getting Logan Mayhew going to Laval. You're getting Sean Farrell, who for sure is going to Laval. You're getting Joshua Roy, who's going to start in Laval. You're getting Riley Kidney, that's going to Laval also. You're getting Philip Machar, okay? He's going to Laval. He's not going back to the Ontario Hockey League. He's going to go to Laval. And don't forget, too, you still have you still have Jaden Struble. That's going to be in Laval again. You have William Trudeau. I saw this kid play, like, practice. He's very good. This Laval team is going to be pretty damn exciting. Now, how good are they going to be? I don't know, because it's full of rookies. But when a good part of your lineup are prospects that could make the NHL, that could make this Montreal Canadiens lineup, guys, the tickets aren't that expensive. Like, we should go fucking scout these kids.
100% as many games as possible for the Rockets this year.
Like,
because it's going to be an exciting year on both ends of the spectrum. Like the Laval and Montreal, I have a feeling we're gonna enjoy this season, win or lose. I think we're gonna enjoy watching. Real Habs fans, by the way, the fans that like to complain and think that they're gonna win the Cup next year, they're gonna be you know.
Zook, you mentioned Sean Farrell. I don't even know if I mentioned him. He's going to be in Laval. I did say that. Yes, I did say he's going to start.
Mm-hmm.
Jakub Dobiš, he's going to be in Laval too.
I'm excited to watch that guy.
And I hate saying this about Caden Primo, but like his gig's in jeopardy. His gig is in jeopardy, you know. So
if he has a very good season,
they're training him.
I see him going to an NHL team. Not Habs. I think
No.
Unless
Jake Allen or Montembeau get injured.
Unless Hughes and Gorton see something in him this year, and then Primo is Montembeau's backup.
I don't see Jake Allen.
I think Jake Allen is one more year with us.
Okay. As of next year, you mean?
More season. I think one more season of Jake Allen. I think Jake Allen either leaves at the deadline or.
Well, Jake Allen's got two more years left on his contract.
So I think he's getting traded.
By this year, or you think next year?
It depends on how Primo does.
He's going to go to the Leafs.
Oh my God! I'll fucking snap. I mean, he's always constantly on the rumor mill, I guess, or the trade rumor mill.
I don't see because you know what? If they don't vision Allen as our future anything after his contract ends. Okay, so you're saying he has 2 years left.
Yeah.
If they don't see Allen surpassing that 2 year mark with the Montreal Canadiens. Then I think you should get rid of him now this season because he still has some sort of value.
Yeah.
He's not bad. Yeah. He still has value as a backup goalie that can help a team get a playoff push. So if you're going to have to get rid of him, it's now or never because you wait another year, the guy is done. You finish off his contract, put him on waivers, and someone's being picked up. I think he's a good trade bait by deadline this year.
Yeah, interesting. Depends what they want
to
offer.
Edmonton doesn't get their shit together. I would love for him to have a chance to play in front of, well, in back of that roster come playoff time.
Jake Allen.
If Edmonton doesn't get their goalie situation in fucking line by the time trade deadline comes, and Allen is having even a half decent season. I'd actually love to see what Jake Allen could do. Like Jake Allen is a goalie that can go on a hot streak in the playoffs, and I definitely have much more confidence in him making the saves. I know they had the rookie goaltender, Skinner, in Nets and Edmonton for their playoff run, but Edmonton would have almost been straight through to the finals.
They had
a goaltender who can make a key stop.
They still have Jack Campbell on contract for four more years at $5 million.
Insane.
Oh my
God. Okay, question for you.
We're talking
about goalies, and it's not one of our segments, but it's a perfect transition to have here.
Go.
What do you guys think of the three goalie signings in this draft this year? Do you think they're gonna develop all those three goalies?
Are the goalies they picked? The Canadians?
The three goalies that
Jacob Fowler is amazing. I love this kid.
Yeah, he is. He's really good.
No, I know, but I'm asking, do you think these three goalies are sticking to the Montreal prospects or they're going to get used as trade bait in the future?
I think they're going to do the best they can to have Jacob Fowler become a potential fringe, not a potential starter, but kind of like the Boston Bruins did this year with their goalies.
Swayman.
I think with Swayman and with I'm having a fucking memory blank here. Hold on. I'll get his name. With Swayman and Allmark. There you go. I think that's what they want. I think they're really waiting to see what Montembeau can do. And then Jacob Fowler, like he's still 18 years old and some goalies take time, but like in 2-3 years from now, if he's ready to go pro and depends how Montembeau is, I think they want this Jacob Fowler kid to one day take the reins. I really do. And man, his USHL numbers are amazing.
He fits the character mold, the profile.
Him too. It's so crazy. This team is becoming the fucking Kent Hughes book club.
Good. It takes time to imprint an image, but you know what? Right now, like my biggest thing with the Habs, with the last 3 years, it was hard to define their their identity. Whereas now we're starting to see what that identity is going to be.
Yeah, the identity is
it's always hard to find one. It's like, teams have a struggle, man.
It's the Kent Hughes fan club. It's half of this team are his ex clients. Yeah. And half of these kids used to fucking babysit them when they were playing in the Boston area.
Look, man.
Let's just say he knew these guys when he still had hair. Let's put it at that. But all jokes aside, and like my Carey Price jersey is literally 5 feet away from me right now.
Frame it.
Yeah.
This is one of the few criticisms that I'm going to say about Carey Price, and I'm going to lead into just a remark that I have for Cam Fowler. I don't think Carey Price had Jacob
Fowler.
I don't want to say the right temperament, but more like the right mindset and like, it's not attitude. It's that confidence. Carey Price was somebody who, and it's not confidence either. It's just his personal preferences. He didn't like being in the spot. Like, this is a guy who's going to disappear and be off grid and away from the city as soon as the season's done, as soon as the game is over. Like, I am in love. And I think you asked the question about the three prospects. I'm dead set on them concentrating on Fowler. And funny enough, he's just like, he's got that arrogance, almost like a Patrick Roy. I'm not saying he's Patrick Roy before everybody fucking jumps on me, but I just think
he's got
the right level of arrogance to be like a dominant force in the NHL as a goaltender.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I see what you're saying.
Well, it's funny you mentioned Patrick Roy because
in this city,
Quentin Miller, that got drafted by the Canadiens, won the Molson Cup with the Ramparts, but as the backup, as the backup mm-hmm. goalie. But he won the Molson, the Memorial Cup with Patrick Roy. So there could be some truth to what you're saying.
I want to specify, because I don't think I said it right. Carey Price is, again, amazing attitude, everything like that. Carey Price was just destined to play in some place like Arizona and go like live on a ranch and not be recognized anywhere he goes. I think Cam Fowler is a guy who's built to play in like Montreal or Toronto, New York Rangers, the high attention markets. That's what I'm trying to say. Carey Price was not a guy. He was an amazing generational best goaltender. However, I think in the long run, the mental tax on Carey Price in the city was not good on him. Whereas I see a guy like Fowler thriving to be in the spotlight. Yeah, amongst an organization that has a rich history of amazing goaltenders.
That's what he said at his draft interviews. Like, I'm not cocky. I'm very confident in myself and my capabilities. I want to be in the spotlight. I love the bright lights. I feel like that's where I kind of perform my best, and it shows in his numbers. Like, he's and you know what's going to be exciting too is that he's going to Boston College, and they're rivals with Boston University. So we're going to be seeing a lot of Jacob Fowler versus Lane Hutson. Hmm. So a lot of Lane Hutson and Luke Tuck, by the way, versus Jacob Fowler. Like, that's going to be interesting. And I hope to see all these guys that we named, like, I hope to see them at the rookie tournament that's happening in Buffalo on September 15th, September 16th, Friday, September 15th, Saturday, September 16th, Monday, September 18th. Their opponents are Buffalo, Boston, and Ottawa. And there's other teams that, like, the Devils are there, the Senators are there, Pittsburgh Penguins are there. Obviously, the Buffalo Sabres that are hosting. And I love this. Like, I can't wait. I already can't wait for September to come. And I know LDS, they find a way to stream it. The Canadian websites, they find a way to stream it. Like, this is something to keep an eye on, because looking at – and Jean-François Hull is going to coach the team. So, basically, we're going to have an idea what this Laval team could look like. And I just love it. I love that time of year.
I'm excited to watch Laval this year.
We're gonna go to a lot of games. And like, if there's any of our listeners and followers that are in the Laval area, like, we've had one that came and actually met up with me, but it was cool. But like, anybody else, like, message us, let us know, hey, I'm going to this game, or like, we'll put it in our Instagram stories that a bunch of us are going to the Laval Rocket games. Come see us. Might go to more Laval Rocket games than the Canadiens, to be honest with you.
For sure.
I've never been this excited about
it's a lot cheaper.
It's a lot cheaper. And what those that have experienced it, great. You probably know what I'm talking about. But like you're still at a fucking amazing pro hockey environment, and you're sitting so close, you're just so close to the action. Yeah. Like it's amazing. I love the last two seasons that they're at the sports Bell in Laval, whatever the arena is called. Like it's amazing. It's actually a fun experience. It's a fun time. Tickets are cheap. You know, it doesn't cost you an arm and a leg to bring your kids out to go with your buddies to watch a hockey game. It's awesome. I can't wait. I can't wait for that rookie tournament. I can't wait to see them play for the team. You know, I just can't wait for hockey season in general to get back.
I just can't wait for September, period.
This is the curse of living in Montreal. But speaking of curses, oh my God. Oh, I don't even know how to begin this final segment here, but everybody knows the Alex Galchenyuk story.
Oh yeah.
Oh boy. That is not good. He enters the players' assistance program.
Listen. Hence why they didn't go for Michkov.
Oh my God.
No. But he's not wrong with that statement, but yeah. I get what he means by this.
Oh, you caught me off guard with that.
No. That's not why, but let me just expand on what Anthony was trying to say.
Well, clearly you two have talked about this.
Not all.
No, at all.
At all. He's in Italy. When am I going to talk to him? No, but like, I even said it, I think, last episode or the one before when Joy was there. Mm-hmm. I found back in the day, the previous Habs management and scouting team that they had assembled at that point, they seem to have, not that they dropped the ball in certain things, but they were drafting less on like personality and more skill. So like he was very skillful. Galchenyuk,
he was a
very skillful player. Was
he
very
really was
very thoughts. He could have gone first. I find that now Gorton reads in. So he's not Gorton, but Kent Hughes. He's an agent, so he knows how to read kids, players, to see what they want to do, how they're going to develop. Sort of like a good interviewer in a good company, right? They're going to vet who they're talking to. They're going to see certain character traits that if it works and this and that. Now they're focusing on that more than, you know, top-end skill, which is why I think they didn't pick Michkov, because he may have been, you know, a fucking great player, skillful, but he may have a certain character that leads
but to, I don't think it's all,
and, to what happened to Galchenyuk, you know?
And I fully agree with that statement, Zook, about how they're drafting and how they're picking and choosing their players, this organization. And I love it. I've always said character over talent, right? I've always said that. But that's what I'm not – what I'm
Joey's saying. Joey's screaming right now.
Joey just threw something at the wall right now.
Yeah.
Shut the fuck up, bitch.
What I think, there's something about, and please, I'm not, you know, insulting anybody or any, you know, nationalities or whatever, but I strongly believe this organization is staying away from Russians. You know, we had that Radulov situation. We had the Kazisin, we had the Markov. You know, I know this was the Bergie. Bergevin's era where he got rid of all the Russians all in one shot. I don't think there's something about the Russians and this organization doesn't click.
No,
there's something behind the scenes that we'll never know, but I think there's something about the whole Russian thing. And now this is a perfect example. You know, we had a Russian like Galchenyuk, and look, he's on the news right now.
Yeah, but I honestly think it's been this him going to the players assistance program. Like, I think a lot of us are here saying finally, it's been a long time coming. And you know what, if that's the first step he needs to take, and he did, to get better, to get help or something, because I think for a long time now, like especially those that are in the Montreal Canadiens fan base, we know what the city could be like. We have the reputation of being a party town. especially night that like we were known to have the nightlife. We probably do have, I don't want to sound biased, but we might have the best nightlife in Canada, at least, you know, like, so when at that young age, when like you, even if someone doesn't watch you, doesn't watch the Montreal Canadiens, they still know who you are because you're a Montreal Canadian. And you know, there's like you're a young male hockey player. Let's be honest, Montreal is full of young, beautiful women. And when you go to the parties, you go out to the nightclubs and all that. God knows who you can get involved with. I personally think his trouble started after he got injured. I don't know if you guys remember the season where he was kind of on a tear. He was coming off his 30-goal season, and I think it was in the 2016-2017 season, because in 2015-16, he scored 30 goals.
Yep.
The season before that, he scored 20. So he was on pace to – I think he was on pace again to score the same amount, more or less. He got injured. I think they rushed him in too fast. He only scored 17 goals, then two more seasons of 19 goals, and after that, that's it. It was over. He was gone. He only had one more season left with the Canadiens. I think somewhere along the way, maybe they knew about his off ice troubles. You know,
his own sister was one of the worst influences. Anna Galchenyuk,
I think,
in the tabloids here in Montreal was peppered everywhere.
But a lot of people are saying his father too was a bad influence on him. His father was trying to do most of the coaching, and his father was telling him to go against some of the coaches that he had.
But it goes full circle. Mm-hmm. You're like to Anthony's point, and it's no offense to any of the European and particularly the Russian. There's a certain element of pride. They are like, you know, they're a very proud population. And in that sense, you know, in Canada, I have to say, As crazy and as much as they're degenerates off ice, and sometimes they do some stupid shit, at least in the game, they are taught from their parents at a young age, you respect the coaches, you be thankful, you know, even the way they dress to just show up to games, like professional attitude, professionalist. The Russian players come with that, I'm sorry to say, but there's a certain element of crazy that comes along with them. And like you're saying, his father, like, do you roll the dice? Even Michkov, there are reports that he's pulling this shit, and he's not in agreement. And like, how much toxicity does that bring?
It's tough.
Who knows? But then, anyways, Galchenyuk, just to go full circle, Galchenyuk was notoriously in trouble off ice,
and that's too bad. But how can I say this? Look, I'm not basing this off of the facts of what he went through, but the one drug that's huge amongst hockey players, maybe in the NHL, but like, dude, like, it's no joke, but cocaine is a fucking hell of a drug. And like, God bless me. I've never done it. I never will. But you hear stories of these players that embark on that journey, that dark journey that they barely make it out of it unless they ask for help. And for him, dude, you hear the reports of what Galchenyuk said to the cop, you know, the hit and run shit, like, I'm going to threatening the cop's life, his bloodline. He's one phone call away from ending all that. Like, barnak. Like,
and that goes down to character, yeah. Dude. Would you ever hear Nick Suzuki say something like that? Or a fucking Caulfield? Or a linebacker? Do you think that he looks the most docile? Like,
yeah, no, yeah, like, but at the same time,
that's too, character. Read the character. It's like, you know, good people and there's bad people in life.
I get what you're saying, Zook, but with do you think Galchenyuk would have said that at the age of like 18, 19, 20? Well,
dude, you could already tell he was a flary type of kid. Like, he was always, he had nice arm tattoos, you know, fucking, where he had money, he got paid young, partying.
So Anthony,
listen, I used to know people Anthony Bates in bars and restaurants. He used to always be there. Yeah, Anthony, you know. But you know that, okay, but it's different. Anthony's a 30-year-old man now, like, at this point.
Well, so is Galchenyuk.
He's a schmuck. Galchenyuk's a schmuck.
I think. No,
thanks for 29. For making myself look younger.
Sorry, he's 24.
No, No, it's good. I'm good. I'm to all my listeners out there. I'm 30. It's good.
Exactly.
Yeah. 30 plus 5. But
you fucker.
Actually, no. It soon you will be.
Yes.
In two days.
Oh yeah, you are the 25th. Okay.
Hello me.
So, don't forget, send me a picture of you on your trip, huh?
Naked. No, I'm kidding.
That should have been an off-air fucking demand. No, but anyways, screw it. Anyways, back to Galchenyuk. Like again, like good for him for finally asking for help. But
yeah,
still, I think his time in the NHL is done.
Oh, after that,
I'm a believer in, I guess, redemption. I guess you could call it second chances.
But it's not only that, Sam. It's not only that. Like, I believe in that too. I think people deserve a second chance, 100%. But I think his career was already falling apart prior to this.
Okay. Jesus Christ. Hold on a sec. I have Cap Friendly here. In a span of, my God. Okay, the last time he was with the Canadiens was in 2017-18. So since then, 8 teams in 8 teams in 6 years.
Yeah. Oh, a bon thing.
He had. You know what though?
Come una troia.
Oh no, he was. They brought him down to the AHL in 2022 when Toronto won the Cup. He was in the AHL with Colorado Eagles.
When you said Toronto won the Cup, like you got to rephrase
what?
That.
What? I said Colorado won. I said.
Oh,
Colorado.
I thought I heard Toronto. Sorry. No. He was in this year. Yeah, he was in the minors.
Yeah,
like, and he played well, but the no
42 last, points.
Yeah, in 42 games, but
yeah, point a game.
I don't know. It's it could be maybe he's lost that NHL speed. It could be like
what was it? It was a wrist injury to him, eh? Like you got a lot of
wrist. I think he got an ankle. He hasn't played
a full since he left the Montreal Canadiens. Yeah. He played with Arizona Coyotes 72 games once. Yeah. After that, Pittsburgh 45 games, Minnesota Wild 14 games, Ottawa 8 games.
Yeah.
Toronto Maple Leafs 26, and then Arizona 60, and then 11 with the Avalanche this year, and then I guess he dropped.
You saw what he did when he was in the Toronto Maple Leafs against the Canadiens in the playoffs.
Dude,
he gave it away to Nick Suzuki, baby.
Galchenyuk made the best pass of his career.
The best assist.
To
he's in habits. He's not.
And it's too bad because man, like I remember being excited about him. Like I remember,
yeah,
like
Gallagher were fucking dude killing it.
Oh my God! What was it? It was the egg line, the Galchenyuk, Eller, and Gallagher. Line.
They were the one of the top lines,
dude. And then at one point, I think it was Galchenyuk with Brandon Prust and I think Gallagher too. They were fucking putting up points.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, in 2015, 30 goals, 26 assists, 56 points.
Yeah.
He was every year he did with the Montreal Canadiens was 27, 31, 46, 56, 51, 41, 7. Like he was going up the ladder with the Montreal Canadiens.
Yeah, he was. And again, that year that he got injured, like that's what I think
that changed.
I get that feeling like it was during that season he started maybe getting the bad habits, probably because he was injured.
Mental
who knows? Like mentally, if he was like, fuck, this sucks, you know. If he was in pain, God knows if he was in pain and he was looking to drugs or medication.
That's why it's important to place your bet on people that have the mental fortitude. He does not have the mental fortitude.
Okay, hold on. Okay, let me play devil's advocate on this. Right now, with the resources that the Canadiens are bringing to the organization, sports psychologists, like not just on ice therapy or medical, but like even off ice therapy. If the Canadiens had those resources, do you think maybe this shit would have happened with him? I mean, who knows? But like, look, we're just speaking hypothetically. It's a hypothetical question because shoulda, woulda, coulda. I mean, hindsight is always 20/20.
There's less odds if you have those mechanisms.
So, I'm just saying. I think it's tough. I think you know, you, like maybe I'm trying to remember if back then we were like we would advocate like the importance of mental health, but especially now more than ever. Yeah. Like it is.
No, back then was more hidden, right? Like people started coming out recently.
I think so too. You know, so
last 5 years,
we're in a different era, and look, I personally don't think he has a career in the NHL anymore. No. Just. Yeah. Not only based on what just happened recently, I just think
best... you go to Russia and play in the
and
KHL.
That's it. I think the
it's
best
a good thing league. For him, he'll think... make $1 million, $2 million,
I,
and that's
I
it.
Think the best thing for him, like once he's recovered, if he can change his ways, become a bit of a better person or whatever, be a better person. Like, I don't know who he is as a person.
Two NHL teams put him in the minors. Yeah. You know,
yeah. So, Toronto,
Colorado put him. Toronto and Colorado put him in the minors. So
yeah,
I think prior to this situation. He was already moving out of the NHL and this league.
Well, Arizona signed. Don't forget, Arizona signed him, huh?
Recently?
Before
who released him.
They signed him, and then maybe 2-3 days later, they didn't buy him out. They terminated his contract.
Terminated.
There's a difference. So, yeah, he was supposed to go back. Well, they terminated his contract because of what happened. But then, yet again, he's still going to the NHL Players Assistance Program, which. He doesn't have an NHL contract, but anyways, obviously the union probably got involved. I don't know the full story on that, but it's crazy. Like I we talk about how we think these athletes or these players, these NHL players in this particular example, live a glorified, happy life. And it's like, it's not all sunshines and rainbows, man. You don't know. None of us here. We're just fans of the game and of these teams. None of us know what the fuck goes on backstage, like or behind the scenes. So, it makes you realize that
more money, more problems, and you become less and less humble when you have more money. So, these athletes, these celebrities. I mean, let's talk about everybody. They make it seem like they have a glorified life. Not everybody does.
Same shit. Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Yep. Everyone has the same feelings. We all have the same
and
we all have the same senses.
Fucking
and it's funny how it's all these
dark inside.
No.
I have no
and not for anything. And look at all these rich people and celebrities and athletes are the ones coming out needing help with all these drugs and this and that. You guys have all the fucking money in the world, and yet you're going through that. I don't have that close to that kind of money. I should be the one fucking snorting, you know? So there's.
Evander Kane.
Well, yo, Ed, do you want to talk?
You already have the tattoos, man. Like, I'm curious.
Anthony's one facial tattoo away from either going to jail or
he's gonna get that teardrop line. Here. You know, he's gonna get Nick.
Oh my god, Anthony's one facial tattoo away. Yeah. Oh my god. But anyways, like at the end of the day, I mean, I wish the kid. I call him a kid. Just
29.
Yeah, he's
29. Younger than us. So.
He's younger than us, but yeah, I wish him well. I hope he gets the help and the recovery he needs. If he can get his hockey career back on track, whether it's in North America or to Europe or back to Russia, I mean, like everybody deserves that shot at redemption at the second chance. So,
100%.
That's all the hockey talk I got. Waiting for September to arrive. I'm waiting for.
I'm excited for. Look, this is off topic here. I mean, I can't even talk anymore. Nope. I'm not a summer guy. To me, September, October, are my two favorite months of the year. I'm a fall guy, like the hoodie season. Fall, yeah. You know, this is when I know hockey starts, football starts, and I'm a basement, and I'm ready to watch my sports. I'm at that point right now. It's the end of July. It's right after my birthday where I'm done with summer, you know?
Okay.
And it's right there. It's like, guys, we're a month away.
Are you one of those that's like, oh, I can't wait for summer to arrive? And then we get like these fucking 20, 30, 40 degree humid weather. And now
I hate heat.
You're like, I can't wait for winter. Then once winter shows up and we get these fucking minus 20, 30 degree weather, you're like, I can't wait for, are you? I think we're all like that. I think that's just human nature.
Yeah,
here in Montreal.
If we can live the September October life all year long and maybe have 2 months of heat of summer, I'm good with that.
My ideal temperature is the lowest you get is like I'm okay at zero. If we're gonna go below 0 degrees Celsius, not Fahrenheit, because we're in Canada, I'm like, the lowest I could accept is like minus five, minus 10. Like anything below that is like, yo, fuck it.
I like the 14, 15 with a hoodie and a fucking nice
14, 15 is good. 20, 22, 25 is perfect. Anything above that. You know, the thing is, because we live in fucking Montreal. I don't know why there's like the fucking humidity cloud that surrounds us.
It's very humid.
Like that needs, that shit needs to go away. Go somewhere else. Get the fuck out of here.
The problem is with the shitty summer that we had, I think it's gonna drag. So I think September, October, I think we're gonna skip fall this year. I think it's gonna be from summer to winter. But anyways, that's,
yeah, the leaves are gonna change color. The leaves are gonna start changing color at Christmas. Fuck. That's what
all the leaves are brown.
Any final thoughts for our beloved Habs before
these guys are gray?
Well, I mean, look, they're still, even though for now we don't have much else to talk about. I mean, there's still always something to talk about, but I mean, the Curfew Boys, within the month of August, we're going to be releasing our top 10 products. Oh my fucking God. Me too. I can't speak. It's getting late on a Sunday night. Tomorrow's Monday. We're going to come out with a top 10 prospects videos on YouTube. The Curfew Boys, all of us are going to take turns, you know, just talking about a specific prospect, and we're going to rank them. So at least we got that to look forward to. I'd like to come back sometime in August and just, you know, we do have a couple of guests lined up that I'm excited to actually share that with everybody. That's going to be pretty cool too. I always love doing the over and under talk, like which player, if you think they're going to get over whatever amount of goals or points, like we got that too. Like no matter what, this is Montreal. Well, there's always something to find to talk about when it comes to the Montreal Canadiens.
Yep.
So, but for this episode, I think we touched all.
We touched it all. So, if you
like,
it depends.
We did touch.
If you made it this far, thank you so much. If you made it this far, we're always gonna kind of sneak in a little surprise for you guys. Very soon, we're going to have a nice announcement for our listeners and fans out there. Guess what? You might be able to meet us all together in one room. But anyways, that's a little hint that we're going to give you for this episode. Tune in. Get to the end of every episode, and you get us a hint closer and closer. Yep. That being said, to all listeners, thanks a lot. If you like what you hear, you can follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, and TikTok. If you want to see our beautiful faces, you can like and subscribe our YouTube channel. And if you want to hear our podcast while driving your car, you can listen to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and any podcast platform you like to listen to. Until next time, enjoy your summer, everybody. Be safe. Don't pull a Galchenyuk. Oh, too soon.
Oh,
until next time.
Bye now.
Bye now.
Good night.
Linebacker.
Linebacker.